A special education committee appointed by the mayor of New York reported that one half of public school children were emotionally maladjusted. I'll be back in a moment to talk about alarming youth problems and their causes. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Some time ago, a special committee appointed by the mayor of New York City investigated 1 million of the public school pupils of that great metropolis. This committee discovered that one half of those children needed special help, professional help. Surely this points out one of the great glaring problems of our 20th century way of life, friends. A distressing spirit of frustration has gripped the lives of millions who are not able to cope with the problems of this age. You know, this is doing something also to the religious faith of people. The shattering of old-time standards and moral principles has set a new record in recent months. Psychologists are trying to explain the meaning of this drastic departure from the old tried and true American ideals. Children surely can't be expected to do better than their parents in this matter of exercising faith. We live in an alarming secular society. Almost everything about our public education is slanted toward providing children with materialistic concepts. Even though the majority of American parents belong to some church or other, there is a constant slackening of attendance at worship services. In other words, the prophecy of God's Word is being fulfilled before our very eyes. In the last days, we're told, there will be a great form of godliness with very little power behind it. One of the most startling statements Jesus ever made concerning the end of the world is found in Luke 18:8, and it's in the form of a question. He asks, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth?" Now, the implication of this question is very clear. We can expect a growing disregard for our true religion and true faith. Multitudes living in the world today think matters are getting better and that we'll grow into some golden millennial age of peace when everybody will be converted. Now, I wish this could be a true picture, but it's really the very opposite of what the Bible teaches. People like that are living under a terrible delusion of progress and security. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man," Luke 17:26. And how were they living in those days, friends? Jesus indicated that they were eating and drinking and marrying in such extreme and excessive degree that finally a flood had to come and wipe them out of existence. We read in Genesis that the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. We don't have to look very long and far to see that the same conditions are prevailing today. We live in a sex-obsessed society that has a defiled imagination. The soaring divorce rate indicates that Jesus spoke the truth about the perversion of marriage. Almost 1 out of 2 marriages ends up in the divorce courts today. In America alone, over 10 million alcoholics are destroying themselves with the liquor poison. And at the present rate, 1,500 new alcoholics are being made every single day. And by the way, most of them are women. All over the world, men are wondering why this beautiful free country should be racked with so many social problems. Nowhere is there more luxury and leisure to be found than in the United States of America. The present work week will probably be cut back to even less if some of the labor unions are able to have their way. And so far, it seems that the labor unions have been controlling things pretty much as they please. Now, friends, why do the problems grow as we develop a more luxurious way of life in America? We generally associate luxury and leisure with security and happiness. And yet the very opposite seems to be true. With the most advanced civilization in all history, our suicide rates are on the increase. Mental hospitals are overflowing with patients. Even children are beset with numerous frustrations and mental disturbances. The growing church membership rate doesn't seem to solve the social problems of a Christian nation at all. In fact, the crime rate continues to rise, it seems. Paul was certainly right when he said there'd be a form of godliness, but no power behind. Jesus asked a very relevant question when he asked, "Will there be faith in the earth when the Son of Man cometh?" Every sign Jesus described in Matthew 24 is being fulfilled today. Now, let's concentrate for a moment on those signs which are being seen in the religious world. Evidently, there'll be a tremendous loss of faith in religion, and it will all turn into a dead form, an empty shell, according to the question Jesus asked. A few years ago, nobody ever dreamed that the day would come when theologians would question either God's existence or His power to perform miracles. Even the most wicked man would not boast of his unbelief. But now we face the incredible situation of high church leaders publicly proclaiming that they don't believe in the Bible as it's given, the truths of the Bible as they're given in the Word of God. These same theologians don't believe in the virgin birth or the inspiration of the Bible. Now what's the matter, friends? What has happened to our age that men of the cloth even can become so confused on such basic issues? We want to find out in the broadcast today some of the reasons for this confusion. First of all, of course, everything is in a state of ferment and change. I think we understand that. Everything from dress, art, music, to religion seems obsessed with new radical terminology and customs. The idea seems to prevail that the modern age demands new guidelines with much more freedom than we've ever known previously. Listen, friends, we do live in a very permissive generation, let's face it. Young people are rebelling against all types of restrictions, and the devil has sold them a bill of goods, and they're convinced that more freedom is necessary. But this is a false freedom. It's a vast delusion that Satan is using to his own advantage. This freedom actually demands license to commit adultery, lie, steal, break any laws that are not agreeable to the individual. It's like a surging tide of iniquity, and it has swept over the universities, the high schools, the institutions of the land, and brought moral standards crumbling down to the dust. This diabolical philosophy reasons that there is no absolute standard of right and wrong. Everything's relative, depending on the situation. And that's why so many young people are living together today without benefit of marriage. They don't call that fornication, as the Bible does. They have fooled themselves that this is just freedom, that this is the way it has to be. College presidents even are giving out statements that they don't care what the students do in private. Girls allowed to spend most of the night in men's dormitory rooms. Colleges issuing birth control materials. Well, you say perhaps we couldn't expect secular authorities to stem the tide. And yet, friends, once upon a time, college presidents did advise the young people to be moral and religious. But not anymore, not very often. And what about the religious leaders? What are they doing and saying about the departure from standards and purity and morality? Surely they can put the young people in place and restore those old standards. But the tragic truth is, friends, that many modern-day religious leaders are swinging away from the Ten Commandments of God and away from any absolute standard of right and wrong. Dedicated churches and cathedrals have become the platform for jazz worship services and modern dance classes. Talk about mixed-up children, friends. We've got plenty of mixed-up adults also, and some of them have BDs and DDs and PhDs. How could they ever take such positions as that? Don't they realize the Bible and the Ten Commandments are still binding on us? Yes, they know about the Ten Commandments, friend, but they don't believe the Bible very much anymore. Fearful inroads have been made by skepticism and modernism. Some leading religious leaders have publicly rejected the virgin birth of Christ. They've openly derided the flood story of the Bible, called it a myth and a legend. The creation account of Genesis is held up to ridicule and completely discounted by the leading officers of some great denominations. Let me tell you something, friends. This influence of such leaders and churches has led to a teenage rebellion against all authority. And what could be expected, friends? We've sown the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. Reaping the fruit of all this fearful skepticism that has been repeated publicly by a lot of the religious leaders. And these theologians have communicated these doubts to the young people, and a whole generation has been brought down to that belief, that level, of unbelief. Red Book magazine made a survey in 8 leading seminaries in America, and they discovered only 1% of the young men there believed in the second coming of Jesus. Now, I believe, friends, that this tide of skepticism was started when religious leaders accepted the theory of evolution years ago. When that creation story of Genesis was rejected, a door was opened to bring in all kinds of speculations concerning men's ideas. At first, theologians tried to make the Bible agree with evolution. They tried, for example, to make every day of creation a long geological period of time. They attributed to God a kind of hit-and-miss trial-and-error process that required billions of years to complete creation. But the story just couldn't stand up, friends. The Bible says God spoke and it was done. The Bible says God made man upright in his own image. There was just no place for the fall of man in the evolutionary scheme of things, and therefore the flood became the special object of attack and ridicule. Evolutionists hated that story because it explained how the earth's layers could have been formed as a result of the flood. The evolutionist, of course, had to have the earth layers to prove his theory of the long ages of time and history. Now, just to give you an idea how far afield some theologians were led by these false conceptions, listen to this statement by a former president of the Federal Council of Churches in America. In answer to the question, "Do you believe that there was a flood as related in the book of Genesis?" his answer was this: "There was not sufficient water available to cover the whole globe at one time to the summits of its loftiest mountains, and had enough water been added for this purpose, its extra weight would have seriously disturbed our planet's place in space and probably have deflected it from its orbit." Now just imagine, friends, a statement like that being made by a man who headed up the Federal Council of Churches. Of course, we're not surprised at this because the Bible has not been the most popular reading material, even for such men of the cloth. Such positions only confirm the prophecies of God's Word. In 2 Peter 3:3, we read that in the last days men would actually rise to scoff and scorn at the idea of a universal flood. The Bible says that this is only one of the signs that the end of the world is drawing near. Now, friends, if the Bible story of creation is not true, then perhaps other parts of the Scriptures are also untrue. If we can't believe one portion of the Bible, then we can't believe any of the Bible. But thank God it's true in every part, and it's our only sure guide in the dark confusion of today. And now, this is Joe Crew saying goodbye for today.